Today's scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 27. And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes to his glory, and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Today, we have a very happy occasion, that is to receive two new members into our congregation. We received one in the early service and the second one at this service. We are very happy and excited to have them join our church. Just to remind all of us that we are fellow travelers in our heaven-bound journey. We need each other and we need each other's support and words of encouragement and prayers. So please welcome them in Christian love. Now, if the ceremony had taken place in the first century church in Jerusalem, the members would have been called disciples, not members. As a matter of fact, the word disciple has been around and in the church for 2,000 years, yet today, in the 21st century, few of us understand what the word disciple truly means. So that's what we're going to do. We are going to think about the meaning of discipleship in the following three ways. I'm going to explain to you. The first one is reality check, where we are. The second one is the nature of discipleship. And the third one, the marks of Christ's disciple. Let's go back to the first century in Israel. Did you know back then, during the time of Jesus and his 3 year of public ministry, he was a rock star. He was a public figure. He was a celebrity. Everyone knew about him back then and heard about his ministry, such as casting out evil spirits and healing the sick, raising the dead and feeding the hungry and eating with sinners. If any person does the same thing, you must have heard of it too. Back then, kings wanted to see Jesus and even the beggars on the streets wanted to meet him. He was so popular that wherever he went, the multitudes of people wanted to, and they did, follow him. They even once tried to make Jesus their king. So let's pretend that I am, you're surely a movie director, making a Jesus movie depicting the ministry of Jesus. Of course, I will show, focus on him. First, walking before the crowd, and I would move the camera to zero in on the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ walking behind him, and more people following, behind the 12 disciples, and at the very end, the multitudes, hundreds and sometimes thousands of people, children and women included. We call them followers of Christ. But among these followers of Jesus, there were two groups. The first group was seriously committed disciples, including the 12. They stayed and stuck together with Jesus all the way through, and they ate and slept together with the Lord, and they spent time together and traveled together with Jesus and accompanied him wherever he went. They heard Jesus' teaching and even got private lessons from time to time on the topic of the kingdom of God. And they learned from the master through his daily examples. They memorized the words of Jesus and passed them on to the people. And they were there at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. And they met the risen Lord and saw him ascend into heaven too. And on the first Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit fell upon them, these committed disciples went out and boldly witnessed to the way of Jesus into the entire world. What about the second group? I would call them a large crowd of disciples. I'm just using the exact word in the Bible. A large crowd of disciples. Unlike the first group, they were not committed to the Lord or to his cause. They were rather a curious and casual bunch. Don't get me wrong, they loved to follow Jesus. They loved to hear him teaching in ordinary times and on good topics. However, when his teaching got difficult for them to swallow or understand, they, the scripture says, abandoned the Lord in John 6:60. Now let's come back to the 21st century. Now in the entire world, we say there are over 2 billion followers of Christ. Almost one-third of the entire global population. Sadly, however, even in today's church, I see the same pattern. 2 groups of followers. I'm going to talk about the second group, the majority. Many people today are non-committal to the Lord. They're somehow, and they're more interested in getting what they want from Jesus than keeping his commands. Once they get what they came for, they go away from Jesus for a while until the next time. They may claim to be the disciples of Christ, yet in reality they deny the lordship of Christ in their lives. In crisis, they turn to the Lord. However, when the crisis is over, they turn back and they take back the driver's seat. They ask Jesus to bless what they do rather than doing what he blesses. And they are the master in their lives, not Jesus himself. And Jesus in their lives is a servant to bring what they desire, not the other way around. That's the modern day picture of church goers. Here's another example for you to consider. How many of you have heard of the name of the church, Willow Creek Church in Chicago? How many of you have heard of it? Well, let me tell you this. This church is one of the biggest congregation, largest church in America today, whose membership is 25,000 plus. Every Sunday they have about 25,000 people gather and worship. Great church, isn't it? Don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing any particular church. This is the fact. Everyone knows. It was started in the 1970s, in the middle of 1970s, by a pastor called Bill Hybels. Wonderful pastor. He started his church from scratch. What he did is that he didn't go into the traditional building like this. He started anew with, movie theater chairs to make people comfortable, user-friendly environment. They didn't use the organ, they used, the band, okay, guitar and drum and whatnot. Well, after doing about 25 years, they grew from like zero to 25,000 people. So what they decided to do is that, okay, let's take a look back what we've done in the past 25 years. We grew in number. The question we're going to ask ourselves is that, have we raised disciples of Jesus Christ in our congregation? And they did the self-study, and they even published the book called Reveal. That's where I discovered all this. To answer that question, their answer was what? We failed to raise the disciples of Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Numerical growth doesn't mean anything? They say, no, we failed. So we need to know what they are talking about, the discipleship, the nature of discipleship. Let's listen to Jesus and what he says about it, okay? In today's text, as we read and as we heard, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says this, Jesus was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, that means that you want to be my disciple. And Jesus says, then you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily and follow me. Please note here that his invitation is for all people. Everyone with no discrimination, with no restriction. However, whoever accepts the invitation must not forget the cost of discipleship, which we call self-denial, bearing the cross, and obedience daily. Now, whenever we think of or talk about self-denial, we often think about giving up something, like our favorite food during the season of Lent, chocolate or meat or something. However, self-denial here means much more than that. It's a radical reorientation of the center in your life. It means inviting Jesus to the center of your life. It means stepping down from the throne of your heart and yielding the seat to the Lord. It means serving him and his causes as his servant. It means to put yourself in the service of God, not the other way around. It means to put him first and put yourself last. You know, some time ago, someone gave me the three blocks of wood. You know, very cute block, looks like house shape, with a chimney standing. And each wooden block has the each alphabet. One, the first one has J, the second one has O, the third one has Y. If you put these three wooden block, you know, houses together, it creates one word, joy. And the person who gave me, if you mix those alphabets, does it make any sense? No. J-Y-O doesn't make Y-O-J. Doesn't make any sense except only one word, J-O-Y, joy. And she points out that, you know, J means Jesus. O stands for others. And Y stands for you. So when you put Jesus first, when you put yourself the last, you will have joy. I'll never forget that lesson. Self-denial means to say no to our selfish desires and lifestyles and say yes to God's will. It means to declare that you yourself are dead, but Christ lives in you. Galatians 2:20 says this, Paul, although he was alive, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who lives in me, but Christ lives in me. Derek Prince, one of their wonderful preachers, he said, I quote, you cannot be a self-pleaser and a Christ-pleaser. It's impossible. You cannot please you and Christ at the same time. You have to choose. Self-denial is always choosing Christ. What about the meaning of the cross, your own cross? Some of us would say that my cross is my wife. Raise your hand. All men. No? They dare not. Right? Some women, my cross is my husband. Raise your hand. Wow, very nice. Some of us think that my cross is my child. My cross is my physical illness. All these things. However, you know what? Cross seems to me, it is the place where your will and the will of God cross. That is where you lay down yourself. Think of the cross in the first century. Back then, it was a capital punishment for criminals. It meant literal death. Death to yourself. So to some of us in the 21st century, it may mean literal martyrdom. But for most of us living in America, it means living no more for yourself, but for Christ. Not a death wish either, but obedience to the reign of God. In the course of fulfilling God's will, there will be prices to be paid, pain and hurt to be accepted. The question for all of us is that are we ready to die for Christ? Are you willing to pay the price for the name you carry every day? You know, whenever I think of the carrying my own cross, I think of the brothers and sisters in the hostile region against Christianity, such as North Korea, China, India, Pakistan, and all these countries in Africa too, who undergo persecutions for the sake of their faith in Jesus. Christ says to every disciple, take up your own cross, lay down your will, and choose the reign of God. The last one I want to say is that taking up the cross is a daily process in our faith journey. It's a daily decision. We declare a daily steadfast loyalty to the Master and His way of life. We submit ourselves to God's will daily. You know, I would be amiss if I skipped the marks of Christ's disciple, as I said at the very beginning, defined by the Lord Himself. He says, if you do this, you are my disciple. Don't you want to know? And this is what the scripture says. First one, Christ says, if you hold on to my word, you are my true disciple. Listen to his word yourself. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Anyone who claims that they love Christ, they are a disciple of Christ, yet never opens the Bible to hear his voice, is delusional. You're fooling yourself. The second mark of true disciple is this, love one another. Once again, Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. People in the world will know that you love each other as Christ has loved you. Love is indeed a sure sign of Christ's disciple. What is the third mark? Jesus says that true disciples bear much fruit. This is what he says in John 15:8. My Father is glorified by this. What is this? By that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. The fruit is shown forth and shown out in your words and in your actions and in your personality, such as love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, and self-control, and so forth. You know, it's not in my script. If you're following my script, it's not there. But just God inspired me now. There was a lady called me, happened to be a Muslim lady. I've never met her. She called my church office and, Pastor Choi, I'd like to sit down and have a meeting with you. I said, sure. So she came to my house, you know, several years ago. And she says, I have one question for you, Pastor Choi. I'm a Muslim. I'm not a Christian. But I go to laundromat, speaking of laundromat, and where they had an attendant, right? Happened to be, you know, just a poor family. I mean, she was an African-American lady working, you know, for minimum job and whatnot. But the Muslim lady, what she saw was on her face, such a joy, such a smile. And this Muslim says, Pastor Choi, explain to me what she has that I don't have. Why she's always happy? And I know she's a Christian. So what's the secret that she has it and I don't have it? Help me out. So I said, it's very simple. It's easy. Christ lives in her. That's why even though she is, you know, very poor, she's always full of joy. And it shines forth in her personality every day. True disciple bears much fruit. Again, remember, you know, Christ says that he's the vine and we are the branches. If you cut the branches from the vine, you will have no grapes in the end. Must be connected, right? That's why Christ says, without me, you cannot bear any fruit. The last mark of the true disciple is this. Witness to the name of Jesus. Anyone who is in love with the Lord cannot stop talking about the Lord and what he has done for him or them. You know, as we're closing, I'll read to you one more passage in the scripture, what Christ says about discipleship. That means you and me. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Let his word serve as a poignant reminder to all of us in our discipleship." Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, you have called us to be your disciple. Some of us feel like the cost of discipleship is exacting, too harsh, too much, God is asking us. But as we say, you get what you pay for. The reason why the cost is high is because it's worth dying for. Put everything we have to get what you promised. Yes, Lord. Help us to be a faithful and committed disciple of yours until we stand before you, Lord. And we would like to hear you saying, "Good and faithful servant, well done. Welcome to the kingdom of God." Yes, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.